Welcome back to The Comixologist. Coming to you, not live, from New York City, it's Kazam and Slim.
Oh, man. Can you feel the magic right now? The magic on the show. I didn't create that. I'll give full credit to Shane, our Tumblr wizard, who is sitting outside of our podcast HQ. He felt the magic before the show.
Oh, my goodness. I don't have anything to say to that. That's beautiful.
Welcome to the Comixology Podcast, where we recommend books to you to read. We're here to hold your hand and descend.
Ascend into burger. Because we believe that there's a comic out there for everyone, mm-hmm. and we want to help you find yours.
We're here to help. And to that end, Emerald City Comic Con.
Yes.
Is this week. Ugh. In Seattle.
Oh, my goodness.
Our home away from home. And we will be there. Shane Boyer will be there.
You can say hi to our Tumblr door.
Tumblr door. He also runs our Twitter. He'll be prowling the floor, taking photos, tweeting, Tumblring, probably hanging out with Chip Zdarsky and Matt Fraction. I don't know what he does over there. Hobnobbing.
Oh, so jealous.
And I think we have a few panels. We're going to be having a party where if you want to come down, you're looking to work for Comixology, you should come party with us. So we'll be mixing drinks of some kind. We'll be hiring you. We'll be talking about jobs that are open at Comixology. We have a ton of jobs, and I'll link to our jobs list in the show notes. Saturday night, we'll be hosting a party open to the public, free drinks, and limited edition t-shirts.
Ah, the best.
The shirts are amazing, FYI. And we'll also have a Where to Begin panel, which is similar to our Recommends panel that we did, which was live streamed on Twitch a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Where were we? South by.
You don't even remember. Such a blur.
I don't know what day it is.
You don't even
right
remember
now.
Us being in Texas.
What
is like
Texas?
A dream.
I don't know what that is. We'll also have a Submit panel, The Future of Self-Publishing, which we actually have a pretty great cast of characters that will be on there. John will be there. John Roberts, our own. Also, Erica Moen, Janelle.
Sorry, continue.
Janelle Azelin, Jody Hauser, Fabian from Doc Unknown. Great Submit book. It's one of my faves. I'll link that in the show notes also. Hope Nicholson. And they'll be going through kind of the ins and outs of Submit, some tips and tricks, submitting your own books to get on our platform. So be sure to check that out. That is, let's see, Saturday also. Holly. I'll have a link to all this good stuff in the show notes.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really cool. So Amazon obviously is based in Seattle, so this is kind of our home away from home. Hopefully it's not raining. We'll also have the other panel Sunday, which is the Hire Me from Comics Fan to Comics Professional. David will be there. Let's see. Jen Vaughn from Fantagraphics.
Mm-hmm.
Dear friend. The Jenya on Twitter. Christine from Boom. Let's see. Jack from Fantagraphics. Michael Martz. Marvel. So it'll be a jam-packed panel.
So many stars, I feel like I'm blinded.
We won't be there. We'll be there in spirit.
In spirit.
We'll be there in spirit. Podcast spirit. So check it out. Emerald City Comic Con. Or else. I didn't mean to threaten you, but you should go is what I'm saying.
Why don't we just dial it back a little bit and talk about the comics we read this week?
Can I still threaten you when I talk about my comics?
Okay. No. Please don't. What did you read this week?
I went to a new release, new this week, but it's a backlist book, so it's been out before. It's called Batman Prey, and it took place in the Legends of the Dark Knight series, mm-hmm. way back when. Not way back when, but when I was growing up, so the aughts.
Way.
Ought to.
Way.
Yeah, way back. It was printed on parchment.
Let's hop in a TARDIS and go check that out.
This book, I remember when I first heard about this book, as it wasn't when it came out, but it was when they were making, I believe, the third Batman movie, when there were rumors about what the plot was going to be, and everyone kept coming back to Batman Prey. And this storyline takes place kind of soon after year one. So it's a Batman, he's only really been seen in public 5 times yet.
Oh, he's a newbie.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon is still Captain Gordon. He doesn't even have a Batmobile yet. And the Batcave is pretty much just bookcases with like beakers at this point.
Aww.
It's really cool. And
my first lab set.
Yes, Batman's first lab set. New, coming soon from Kenner. The storyline of this book is Gordon and this kind of psychologist and the mayor are on this like talk show talking about the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And this Hugo Strange is the doctor on this show. Ooh. I think he was in the animated series.
Yes.
He had the glasses and the little goatee action going on. And this guy, you know, really digs deep into what he thinks the Batman is. And the mayor is smitten by this guy. So he hires him to be a consultant to this new Batman task force run by Gordon. And Gordon is like kind of struggling with this because like a few weeks ago, Batman saved his infant son.
Mm-hmm.
From on the bridge in Batman Year One. So the story is Hugo Strange kind of going like nutty while trying to track down the bat. I was about to say batty. Yeah, I was about to say that. And I stopped myself.
It's too late. We all know what you're doing.
It was a five-parter, really well done. It was really cool. It showed Batman kind of growing into the role of Batman and Gordon coming to grips with he needs to like arrest Batman or he's gonna lose his job, but he doesn't want to, and Hugo Strange just being kind of crazy. I actually wish that they had turned this one into the movie. I thought you were gonna say
Hugo Strange is acting strange and I was gonna be like, whoa, was this on the nose day for Matt?
It was, but it was a high recommendation. I hope that eventually this becomes fodder for a movie because it would be perfect for it.
All right,
but now he's old, he's Ben Affleck, he's grizzled
Batfleck.
He's grizzled and ripped. Are you excited for Batman and Superman?
I'm excited for Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman.
Of course you are. I think there was a few episodes where you only talked about Wonder Woman when we first started the show.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman cast.
I just love her.
Yeah, who wouldn't? What did you read?
Gem and the Holograms.
Of course, I knew it. What is Gem and the Holograms? Wasn't this a TV show?
This was a TV show in the 80s, and I actually didn't even know that it existed until I was in high school, and one of my friends like trotted out some of her old VHSs, and she was like, you need to see this. So Gem and the Holograms is like the show is about this pop band in the 80s, and their lead singer, it's very superhero-y because the lead singer is actually a hologram projection around this like record executive Jerrica Benton, but when she puts on the hologram via the like cyber intelligence named Synergy, which is why I love the word Synergy, because every time I say it I'm just like, it's a buzzword. And it has to do with an 80s childhood cartoon. So, with the help of Synergy, she can project a hologram around herself that turns it into Gem.
Hmm.
J-E-M.
Of course.
The lead singer of Gem of the Holograms, which is a truly outrageous band. They've got awesome makeup. They've got big, colorful hair. So, the time was ripe to do a remix of Gem and the Holograms. So, IDW has started publishing this ongoing comic about Gem and the Holograms, although now they're in 2015.
Spoilers.
And so the first issue came out today, and it is really kind of like the setup for how things in this comic universe are going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so colorful, and the outfits and the hair are so great, and like... I was reading this book. I'm like, oh, like this is really good. And I got to the end and I was like, no, that can't be it. This is the best. So I'm really excited to see what comes next. Also, I want all of their wardrobes, all of their hair right now. Why can't my hair look like that?
You just have this stylish hair already. What more do you want? You shave the side of your head.
Like they have,
you're on a poster at South By and you want more. I don't get it.
Well, you know, they've got hair like this, but it's also like colored and set, but like in a way that colored hair rarely looks in real life. So, you know, but, and also their makeup. Oh my God. Like I read this comic and then I like sprinted into the bathroom so I could put on more intense lipstick because I was like, this is not cutting it.
I saw you today and I was like, she must have read Gem and Holograms judging by her lipstick.
I've got like the big hair. I've got lipstick now. Like the only thing I'm missing is crazy eye makeup, but all my eyeshadow palettes are at home, so can't.
What was the second book that you read this week?
Part-Time Princesses. I'm such a cliche right now.
What's the pitch for?
Like, does it have glitter? Yes. We'll read.
Did the digital copy come with some kind of 3D glitter cover?
Oh, it should have. Actually, one of the lyrics in a song that they put in the first issue of Gem and the Holograms involved, like, making a comparison between people and glitter shining in the light. I was just like, yes, this is everything I want. I have to, like, go home and put on my sparkly Uggs or something to fully appreciate this.
What's the story for Part-Time Princesses?
Okay. So Part-Time Princesses, we've had a digital first, I think, for the first, they cut up the book into chapters, and then the collected edition was released today. So Part-Time Princesses is about this theme park, like a little theme park in this small town, and like all the high school kids work their summer jobs at this theme park. And four of the people in this theme park are princesses. They are part-time princesses.
I see. I get it.
Yeah. And they're four friends. And you're kind of following them between the end of the summer of their junior to senior year and then the summer after that, and how they're like growing as people as they leave high school to become adults and kind of figure out more of what they want from life. And I really liked it because each of the four girls were so distinct, not just in the way that they were drawn to differentiate them from one another, but each of them had their own like definite motivations and personality. And my favorite character is the girl who is Sleeping Beauty when she's at the park. Because when she's not Sleeping Beauty, when she's just herself in her regular life, she's like a runner, and she's got this like really cute pixie cut, and she's BFF / maybe something more with one of her friends. She's like such a snob. Like, she is the biggest snob ever. She's just like she is upset at the thought of bringing in outsiders to their group because she's like they're not worth it. Like, why do we have to tell the manservants about this? Because that's what, like, oh my God. She's like even after she like goes through all these like life changes, she's still just like, do we have to hang out with other people?
Who's the publisher for Part-Time Princesses?
Oni Press.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really cute. Anyway, so basically these four girls are like the popular girls and doing their thing, and then something happens at the park to make it not so attractive to people who will come to the park. And the girls kind of sort of figure out what's going on, and they decide that they're going to do something about it. There is martial arts involved.
Whoa,
all I'll say.
Okay. Part-time martial artists.
Yeah.
Is that the other job that they have? Spoilers.
Yeah. It was really good. It was really good.
The next book I want to talk about really quickly before I get into another book, Revenger number 2, Submit.
I remember you talking about the first one.
I did talk about the first one.
You must have really liked it because you're reading the second one.
I do. Charles Forsman does this book from Oily Press, does it all himself. Grace Jones. I think we talked about Grace Jones from A View to a Kill. Maybe that was a segment that we cut from the show because we talked about James Bond for like 20 minutes. Grace Jones was the love interest of Max Zorn from A View to a Kill in a James Bond movie. Mm-hmm. So if you remember Grace Jones, she, in my mind, is the main character of this book. 1980s, you know, she's a revenge for hire BA. Mm-hmm. And I abbreviated two words. Maybe you can figure out what those are. And the second issue starts off where she was kidnapped. She was caught trying to enact revenge on a girl that was kidnapped. And this issue is about her violent escape, possibly with the help of another person. And it's probably one of my favorite Submit books. It's, it's violent. It's got a BA protagonist, and I enjoy it. That's all I need. What more do you need? There's no glitter in this book. I'm going to say that front and center.
There we go.
The glitter has been replaced with blood splatter.
Wow. I mean, I guess that's like a different kind of glitter if you want to be
that's
morbid
real
about it.
Head glitter, I think, is what
wow.
you call that. But it gets my pick of the week from Submit. The other book I want to talk about from Boom, which I think we talked about on the show before, Mimetic, number 1. I went into the archives.
Memetic? Memetic?
I call it Memetic.
I do.
You
too.
Call it Memetic?
No, I call it Memetic. I'm okay. Just being a jerk.
The plot of this storyline, it's present day, and it's really present day because they really hit home on the social media aspect of the book, where this young kid, he's kind of having a fight with his boyfriend, and during this time he sees that there's this hot new meme sweeping the nation right now. It's a picture of a sloth.
Spoilers.
And it's called like the Happy Times Sloth or something.
When everyone, good time sloth.
Yeah, Good Time Sloth. When everyone sees this photo, it's not just a regular meme. They actually feel good. They feel good about themselves. They feel like positive.
Yeah, it's a good time sloth.
Yeah, and then this kid cannot, he's colorblind, so he's not getting, he sees it, but he's not getting the sensation that everyone else is getting. Mm. And it's so popular, they estimate that 400 million people have seen it. They have stories in the news about how people feel good when they see it, and they're kind of weirded out by it. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, the person, one of his friends, one of the first people to have seen the meme, he's like, blood starts coming from his eyes, and he just goes crazy, and he starts like killing people.
So then we see what happens after that. I don't know. Longtime listeners might remember that I talked about this series. It was a mini series when it was wrapping up. And I believe I said it was so good and so terrifying that I felt like throwing up at the end, which is actually a very good selling point, because if you get that kind of visceral reaction from a story you're telling, like, you're doing a pretty good job.
You are. Yeah. I actually, by the time I finished it, I've had so many people tell me about this book. I was angry that I hadn't read it when they told me to. So
you should be angry that you hadn't read it.
Maybe not when you told me, but when the other people I know told me.
Aw. Now I know where I stand.
But I think the best pitch you can have is, by the time I was finished reading it, I wanted to vomit. That's how good it was. Good vom. The Good Vom Sloth, I think, would be the next vom. So, Memetic, number one.
You should be in marketing.
If you wanted to give it a shot, you can try for free, thanks to our friends at Boom. Meme Pod at comixology.com/redeem will get you that book for free. MEMEPOD. And that'll last until Sunday night. So, you better get cracking. You probably won't need to vom, but maybe you vom with excitement after you read it.
Yeah, let us know. Letters@comixology.com. Speaking of...
Wow.
We have...
We're running out of tape.
Segway. Speaking of, we have a letter this week.
I got it right in front of me. I got the intern just handed me the printed out letter. Hey, Comixologism. This is Ryan, the guy who made Broken Telephone. Thanks for the great review. I was very flattered, even if I had an existential crisis when I heard you say people will like it if they, quote, grew up on Pulp Fiction or Ryan Estrada's webcomics. At first I thought, how old do they think I am? And then I remembered that I posted my first webcomic the year Pulp Fiction came out, and now I feel like a grandpa.
Oh, honey.
We've all been there. My question is this.
Speak for yourself.
I live in South Korea, and I hang out at a lot of Korean conventions. The folks there are super into manga, Avengers, and Adventure Time. But I want to recommend some wider variety of Western comics to them. Any suggestions? Fun fact, Korean Comic-Cons are wildly different than Western ones. First of all, 95% of the exhibitors are about 60 to 70% of the audience are typically female. I've been at cons where I was the only male in the building. That's pretty crazy. They already know about Avengers comics, but sell their own versions that I have more man-love makeouts in them.
Jujinshi?
Probably.
Yeah.
And probably don't know about Adventure Time because it's geo-blocked from being purchased here. Cry. And that comes from Ryan Estrada, who we talked about his book, Broken Telephone, last week, which is great, and I recommend it.
Oh, Ryan, thanks for writing into us. I actually did some research for you. And by research, I mean, I remembered that one time that my friend who's super into K-pop took me to a K-pop concert. We saw the band Best Absolutely Perfect performing in Times Square in New York City. I was covered in glitter. At the end of the concert, don't laugh. You liked that Instagram.
I did.
At the end of the concert, I looked around and realized that we were the oldest people there. But that's besides the point. So from my totally personal and anecdotal experience dealing with a peripheral part, well, I say peripheral part of South Korean culture, but actually, as I understand it, pop music is king over there. I have some suggestions for people who might like that kind of part of South Korean culture slash girls who like me who might like the Avengers and manga and mm-hmm. also go to Comic Cons because yes. So I've got a little list of suggestions here. I want to recommend The Wicked and the Divine, Young Avengers.
Oh, great book.
Gem and the Holograms, Tiny Titans, Help Us Great Warrior, Miss Marvel, Bandette, My Little Pony, and my friend who likes South Korean culture informs me that South Korean girls really like really good looking men. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend Grayson because you need more Dick Grayson in your life.
Absolutely.
Shirtless Dick Grayson.
Episode title.
All of the time. So I hope that these suggestions help you and your friends explore the world of Western comics. I selected things that were colorful and sparkly or had to do with music or like Ms. Marvel had to do with being a fangirl or like Grayson had to do with really pretty men.
We need all of those things in our life.
We really do.
That's it.
I just made the world a better place. You're all welcome.
What a show. You're improving the world, you know, one recommendation list at a time. And I'm not really doing a whole lot of reading Batman comics with Hugo Strange. That's all I do.
What? That is, you need to be able to tell people about those. That's
right.
A great
I'm spreading the love of classic Batman comics, and you should pick them up.
Fantastic.
What a show.
Beautiful. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoy your comics, and don't forget to write to us, letters@comixology.com.
And don't forget to go to Emerald City Comic Con.
It's gonna be awesome.
Goodbye.
Bye.